Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This morning we are continuing our series, Unleashing the Supernatural, Bringing the Spirit Realm to Earth. The past few weeks we have been learning how God wants to reveal himself to people on the earth, and he does that through us, and God wants to reveal himself to us. And I have to confess, when I first started this series, it was just going to be a two-weeker, going to be a two-week message. But as I have been studying and praying and preparing about God using us to reveal himself to the world, to see God move supernaturally in our lives and in others' lives, this is expanded to a four-week series. All right, is that okay? Well, too bad, or if you don't, and good if you do, because I really believe that God wants us not just to come to church and experience him here, but he wants us to experience him everywhere, and he wants to reveal himself to the entire world. You read the Bible, and you can't go very many pages without seeing the miraculous take place. And how many know that he is the same today, yesterday, and forever? God still wants to do the miraculous. He wants to move in a powerful week. Now, let's just kind of recap where we've been. In the first week, we talked about speaking in tongues and what the role of tongues does for us as believers. We talked about how it's not supposed to be something that's just in a church service or just occasionally, but God wants us to be praying in tongues in our everyday life. And we can pray in tongues anywhere, in the shower, while we're shaving, while we're doing the dishes, while we're driving, at school, at work. And God wants us to speak in tongues, because when we pray in tongues, what is happening is the Holy Spirit prays through us, and he helps us to intercede, he helps us to worship, he helps us to just draw closer to God. And we gave some pictures of a smart bomb. When we pray in the Spirit, we're praying the exact will of God. We gave a picture of a bridge. When we feel separated from God, praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit can take us right across and build that bridge. We said it's also like a good workout. It makes us strong. We talked about it's like a beautiful dance, how it's a great opportunity as we sing in the Spirit, as we worship in tongues, that God brings us closer in relationship to him. And then finally, it's like travailing in birth. It helps us to pray and intercede for the different needs that we have. Last week, we talked about how God wants to manifest himself in this world. And we looked at the life of Jesus. We said, this is what Jesus did to see the supernatural take place. Do you remember what the first point was? Jesus was prayed up. You got it. He was prayed up. We said if we're going to walk in the supernatural, we need to be people of prayer. Prayer was a priority for Christ. The second thing we need to do is interruptions. Not interrupt, but to be welcome to the interruptions in our lives. Yes, we need to welcome the interruptions. And the third thing is we need to obey the promptings. As God speaks to us, we need to walk through those open doors that the Lord gives us. This morning, we're going to look in depth at the manifestations of the Spirit that are found in 1 Corinthians 12. And last week we just touched on them, and we said that the next couple of weeks we wanted to unpack these. The cap and gown represent the knowledge gifts. There's three of those. And up here we have everybody's favorite, power tools, which represents the power gifts. And the bike with Mr. McFeely's hat represents speedy delivery. No. The message gifts. And God wants to move in knowledge, in power, and in his message to reveal himself to the world. So let's look at these nine gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. It says, remember the manifestation of the Spirit. The word manifestation means a shining forth, an uncovering. Just as we pulled the veil off the table of power tools, God wants to uncover himself and reveal himself. The manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. As we look at the manifestations of the Spirit, many times when we think of them, we get caught up on the message gifts, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. And that's what usually comes to mind are the message gifts. James Bradford, who is the General Secretary of the Assemblies of God, he's the third highest ranking officer in the Assemblies of God, says this about the manifestations. He says, too many of us narrowly view the gifts as operating almost exclusively during Sunday morning worship and in three primary expressions, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. Our narrow traditional emphasis has created unnecessary anxiety among our people regarding the gifts. People may think, unless I can do something public in a church service, I can't function in the gifts of the Spirit. Or they may think, God's only gifted a few people to express the gifts of the Spirit for the rest of the body. And I know for me, a lot of times when I thought of the gifts, I did think about what takes place in a church service. Now, a few weeks from now, we're going to look more closely at the message gifts. This morning, I want us to focus on the power gifts and the knowledge gifts, because I really think these other six gifts are many times left untapped in church. It's kind of like the natural gas that was untapped in the Jonah field. Hopefully today we can drill and we can see how God wants to use these in our lives to bring His knowledge and power and manifest them to the world around us. So let's take a look at the first grouping of gifts, which is the knowledge gifts. And the cap and gown, they symbolize knowledge. You go to college to get knowledge. I'm glad you didn't say education. I mean, we're rhyming here, all right? You go to college to get knowledge. You're good. You could be a poet or you could be a rapper. Go to college to get knowledge. All right, let's go on. You gain that knowledge and hopefully it enables you to get a career with a good paying job. Or maybe some of you are in a career and you go back to college to get more knowledge so that you can maybe get a promotion or so that you can stay up in the field so you can learn the new techniques, the new methods of whatever it is your field is teaching and coming out with the new discoveries they have. You go to college so that you can learn, you can grow, you want to acquire, and the more knowledge you have, hopefully the more successful you will have in your field. I've heard people say this phrase, knowledge is power. How many have ever heard that statement before? And the reason is because the more you know, the more it enables you or empowers you to do. The more it helps you recognize any blind spots that you might have. And if you're aware of more, then you can prevent those weaknesses, those bad things from happening. And so knowledge is a very, very good thing to have in our own secular life, in personal life. But God wants to reveal His knowledge to us, His supernatural knowledge, in a powerful way. And He does that through three gifts. We're told in Psalm 147, verse 5, His understanding is infinite. Do you know what infinite means? It means it never stops. It means it never stops. I once heard someone say, if you were describing eternity or something that was infinite, it's like a seagull that flew from the East Coast to the West Coast, picked up one grain of sand from the beach, flies all the way back across America to deposit that grain of sand on the East Coast on the beach, and then he flies back across, and he does that until every single solid grain of sand, every single grain of sand has been removed from the West Coast and put on the East Coast. And that right there is 1 second of eternity. 1 second. God is so infinite. We can't even begin to understand who he is. And it says his understanding is infinite. He knows everything. Jeremiah 23, verse 24 says, "Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" God knows every fact, knows every detail, every secret. He knows how to solve every problem you have in your life right now. How many have a problem that needs solving? Many of us do. He knows how to solve that problem. He knows the whereabouts of everyone and everything. That item that you lost this week, maybe your keys, your wallet, whatever it might be, he knows where it's at. There is nothing that escapes God. In Psalm 139, verse 4, the psalmist says, "Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up." In other words, if I sit down, God knows about it. When I stand up, God knows about it. It says, "You know my thought afar off." Do you realize God knows what you're thinking about right now? He knows if you're thinking about the message. He knows if you're thinking about Sunday dinner. He knows if you're thinking about the Broncos, and they're going to lose anyway, so just don't think about them, okay? I heard some amens, and then I heard some dream on, so. But God knows what you're thinking about. He knows that bad thought you're thinking of me for saying that. He knows our thoughts. He knows our thoughts. It says, "You comprehend my path and my lying down." So even the direction I'm taking in my life right now, God knows the direction. If it's a good direction, and it might be a direction that looks good to everyone else, but in my heart, I'm wayward. God knows the path that I'm taking even inwardly. He goes on to say, "You are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together." God knows everything. And with these gifts of knowledge, God wants to share a portion, a piece of his infinite knowledge and understanding with you and I. So let's unpack the three knowledge gifts. The first one is a word of wisdom. The word of wisdom, and it's in your notes. A word of wisdom is when God places on our mind how to do something. God shows us something that we didn't previously know, and he shows us how to do it. A great example we see of this in Scripture is in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. The Grecian widows, or really the Hellenist widows, which were Jews that adopted Greek culture, these widows were being neglected in food distribution. All those that were completely kosher Jews, they were being taken care of, but not the Hellenist Jewish widows. And people were upset. And the God is doing powerful things. Thousands of people are coming into the kingdom. And yet they needed to take care of the widows. And so they're praying about what to do. And the disciples say, "It is not good for us to stop praying and studying the word to feed the widows." And the solution that God gave to them to help the church continue to go forward was to appoint 7 men deacons. And these men will distribute the food to make sure everyone is receiving food. God gave them wisdom on how to solve a problem. And God wants to give you and I wisdom and to solve problems. And sometimes these problems have to do with ministry, with church. There have been times I have been in board meetings or I've been meeting with different ministry teams, and we've got an issue that we need to solve, and we pray about what should we do? How do we resolve this issue? And God gives us an idea that none of us had thought of before, and it's like, wow, this is great. And that's just an example how God wants to give us wisdom to solve problems. But it's not just in ministry, it's in your everyday life. I've had times where there's been something broken around the house. And I've said, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I need this fixed." And God has shown me how to go about and fixing it. And I tell you, that is a miracle for this guy, okay? Because I'm not the handyman. That's my Father. It's like it skipped a generation. When I want something fixed, I talk to my son. My son can fix most things better than I can. God's gifted him in that way. But there are times God can put in your heart the idea of how to solve a problem. And sometimes it's not just fixing things, but sometimes it's fixing relationships. Or sometimes it's fixing financial situations of how to work things out. God wants to give us his wisdom on how to solve problems. Friends, God is in the problem-solving business. Do you have a problem that you need him to solve today? Something that you're just going, God, I have no idea what to do about this. I've done everything in my power, and I'm stuck. Friends, I believe God can show you how to solve your problem. Sometimes he does a miracle and he takes care of it, but sometimes he says, I'm going to show you the path that you need to take to dig yourself out of this problem. And he can do whatever you need him to do today, friends. He can solve your problems. You see, these gifts are not spooky. They're practical. When we talk about unleashing the spirit realm in the earth, it is about very nuts and bolts, rubber of the road, because God loves us and he wants to help us and he wants us to help build his kingdom in the people around us. The gifts are very, very practical. Let's take a look at the second knowledge gift, and this is the word of knowledge. Now, wisdom dealt with how to solve a problem. The gift of knowledge deals with having information or having knowledge of what is going on around us. We didn't know something, and God speaks to us and gives us information that we did not previously have. A great example of this is in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Barnabas has just sold a piece of land and given all the proceeds of it to the church to take care of the poor. Well, Ananias and Sapphira, they hear about this, and they sell a piece of land, and they give, here's the key, a portion of the proceeds to the church. But they secretly kept back part from themselves, and they said, we have given all. Now, I believe God wouldn't have been upset if they would have kept part of it. What God was upset with is they gave part and said it's all, and let everybody else think, wow, look what they've done. And I just have to think in my own mind that their gift was probably bigger than Barnabas's. You know what I mean? Because everybody looks, wow, look what Barnabas did. So they thought, hey, we've got this piece of property. We could sell it for a lot of money and give more than Barnabas gave and still keep some and benefit us. And we come out looking really good, and yet we're profiting ourselves. That's just how I see this playing out. Because if they give less than Barnabas, well, no one notices them. And so that's just speculation, but anyway, they give part, not all, and Peter speaks to them, and they come to church separately. Now here, that's a bad thing, okay? You need to come to church together, unless one's on the worship team and one brings the kids later, which we do almost every Sunday, you know, so I understand that. Come to church as a family together. It's a lot more healthy for you. But Peter asks Ananias, he says, hey, you sold a piece of property for this much money, and you gave it all? And he says, yeah, that's right. You see, God was giving Ananias a way out, a way to repent, a way to come clean. And he didn't. He lied. And Peter says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And Ananias fell dead on the spot. And they carried him out. I mean, what would happen in a church service if we asked somebody a question and they gave the wrong answer and they dropped over dead? I mean, because they lied, there was sin in their life and they're covering it up. What do you think would happen in the church service? It might empty out, or people might say, oh, Jesus, forgive me, and they come clean. Now, God didn't always operate like that, but you have to realize the church was just kind of a brand new baby. They were just getting started, and God wants to show his holiness and make sure that sin doesn't run rampant in the church. And so God reveals to Peter knowledge that he had no way of knowing about the price of the land. Later on, Sapphira, Ananias' wife, comes in. He says, hey, you sold some property. Did you sell it for this much? Yeah, that's how much we sold it for. And you gave it all to God? Yep, gave it all to God. And he says, you two have lied. The very men who took your husband out and buried him, they are here, and they'll escort you out also. And she falls over dead. That is the word of knowledge. God giving you information that you previously did not have, and there's really no way of knowing it. And this gift is very practical. It can be used in witnessing. Jesus used it in John 4. He's at a well, and the Samaritan lady, she comes out to draw water, and Jesus is having a conversation with her, and he said, go call your husband. And she says, well, I have no husband. And he says, that is true. You've had four husbands. Nope, five husbands. I mean, can you imagine that? He knows how many she's had. You've had five men, and the guy you're living with now is not your husband. That's a jaw dropper. And she says, yeah, you're right. And as a result, she becomes a Christian. She becomes a believer. Did you realize God may want to give you a statement or a question when you're in the supermarket line? Something to ask the cashier, no one else is around, and a question to ask or a statement to say, and it opens up a door for witnessing. Or he might do it when you're at work. Just, hey, ask John this question here. We need to be open to God dropping into us his knowledge, things to say, things to do, because God might use them for witnessing opportunities. He might use them to protect your family. I know of a mom who was sleeping one night. Her daughter was at a friend's house. They were having a sleepover. The friends were good. And God woke the mom up in the middle of the night and said, go get your daughter. She woke her husband up. She says, we got to go get our daughter. And they went to the house. It's like 1 a.m. It is very late in the morning. Knock on the door, and they ask their daughter. They say, it's time to come home. And the daughter was furious. She was upset. I mean, you know how it is. You're embarrassed by your friends. And she was just irate. She was so mad at her parents. The parents never did know what took place until 2 years later. The daughter said, you know, Mom and Dad, it's a good thing you came when you did, because things were starting to get a little dicey. And you came, and I didn't want to go at the time, but by you coming, you safeguarded me and you protected me. Parents, we need the gift of knowledge, because God might speak something to you. Go outside, check on your child. Go upstairs, go to their room. Maybe they're doing something, getting involved in the internet, something bad on the internet, or there's a situation, it might be a little child and they're in danger. God can give you a word of knowledge that'll protect your family. When God gives you a little prompting, listen to it. I know when people who have, God said, don't go in this door, go in that door, and they didn't listen to it, and something happened going into that door. Little things. And some things aren't real bad, but God speaks to us in little ways, and we need to be open to God giving us information and then walking in that. That is the gift of knowledge. The third knowledge gift is the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits. And this is when the Lord tells us what spirit is operating at the time. Is it godly or is it demonic? A great example of this is in Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 18. There's a servant girl, and she's following Paul and his evangelistic team around town. As Paul's preaching, she's saying, amen, hallelujah, these men are of God. Oh yeah, these guys are good. Now, does that sound like there's anything wrong with that? No, that sounds good. It sounds perfectly fine. Here's the thing. This girl was demon-possessed, and the demon told fortunes through her, and by her affirming that Paul is of God, it's giving authenticity and credibility to her satanic ministry, that her ministry was of God. And the Bible tells us that Paul was vexed in his spirit. There was something that just wasn't right. Even though it sounded good, even though the words she was saying was accurate, it just riled him up. And he finally, God revealed to him in a word of knowledge what had happened. She had a demon. She was delivered to the demon, and her owners didn't like it because they made a lot of money from her fortune telling. God set her free. And here's the thing, you and I need to be careful and discern everything that we read, that we hear, that we listen to on the internet or live or on TV, because not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Matthew chapter 7 says that there will some who will heal the sick, they will speak in tongues, and they prophesy in my name. They move in what we would call the manifestations, and yet Jesus said, I will tell them, depart from me, because I never knew you. Not just, I don't know you anymore. He said, I never knew you. Satan comes as an angel of light to appear like he is of God. I have this at one time. There was a certain evangelist, a preacher on TV, and whenever I listened to him, while what he said sounded good, man, and something inside was like, there's something not right with this guy. There's something not right. Every time I heard him. And eventually, someone gave me a tape. Yeah, this is about 20 years ago. It was a tape, not a CD. I had a tape, and this is what he said in the tape. He says, now, disease has had its authority broken. It has no more right to stand in front of you than it had to stand in front of Jesus when he was standing there in the flesh. Because you want me to tell you something? You are Jesus in the flesh. And immediately, I knew why I felt there was something wrong with this guy. Because, friends, you and I are not Jesus in the flesh. Isaiah 43 says, there is no God before him, and nor will there be any God formed after him. There is only one God. Only one God. You and I, when we become born again, we become adopted into God's family. We're his sons and daughters, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. But we are not little gods. We are not little Jesuses. We have the power of God in us, but we are human, and we will never be God. And the Holy Spirit, even though I didn't know what was wrong, the Holy Spirit was telling me there's something wrong about him being unaware. And I encourage all of us, young, old, if you're listening to something on TBN or on the radio or on the internet, use a discerning spirit. If you're reading something, use a discerning spirit, because not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, enters the kingdom. There are false prophets out there. When you read the Bible, in the book of Peter and John, it talks about they were in us, they were of us, and they're not of us anymore, they left. We need the discernment of spirits operating in the church today to keep us pure and holy before a righteous God. Okay, those are the knowledge gifts. God shines forth his knowledge, his wisdom, knowledge, and what spirit is operating. Let's take a look at the power gifts. How many like power tools? I love power tools, especially when it comes to drilling something. I mean, in the old days, they had to have an awl. I mean, now, you're done. It's great. I remember when I sheetrocked my home. About several years ago, nails were still kind of the item of choice. They really weren't screwing the sheetrock in yet, at least. And I nailed everything, and I'm going, if I had a great power drill, it could have saved me half the time. Power tools are great. They help us accomplish much more than we can do in our own power. And friends, God has given you and I power tools, the power gifts, and they help us accomplish much more than we can do on our own. The first power gift, and by the way, God's power doesn't need a 120-volt outlet to be plugged into. It can operate anywhere, anytime, and it never runs out. The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible with him. Job said, I know you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. God is all-powerful. So many times we see on TV when they show the demonic power at work compared to God, it shows God as being limited. Friends, God is all-powerful. He can defeat the devil with the bat of an eye. That's how easy God can defeat the devil, how much more powerful he is. The first power gift is faith. And this is supernatural faith to believe for something that you wouldn't believe for on your own. This faith is different from saving faith. It's different from rational faith. Rational faith is faith that you have when you sit in a chair. All of you exercised faith today when you sat in your chair. Did you realize that? You had faith that it would support you. Now, if you thought that chair wasn't going to support you, you never would have sat down on it. You have rational faith. So it's not rational faith, it's not saving faith, and it's not the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness. It is a supernatural faith. God gives you the faith to believe for something to happen that you wouldn't have naturally thought about it. We see this take place in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are going to the temple, and there's a lame man there, and he says, hey, give me some money. And they say, we don't have any money. But what we have, we give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand up and walk. That's the gift of faith in operation. I have wondered sometimes, what would it be like to go up to Wyoming Medical, to walk through the hospital, and just start saying, get up and walk, get up and walk, get up and walk. It'd be neat, but you know what? Jesus never did that. Jesus listened to what God wanted him to do. And there were times people came to him, and there was times when God gave Jesus faith, and he just spoke, and it took place. We need to be open to doing whatever God wants us to do. Even praying for someone to come back from the dead. I heard a story one time of a lady who died. And she had been dead for about 5 hours, and the pastor came in, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, pray for her to raise up. And so he began to pray, and after about a half hour, and all the doctors and the nurses thought he was nuts. In 5 hours' time, after about a half hour time, she rose up. She was alive. Friends, I know this is very unusual, but God wants to reveal his power to this world. And he can do it by giving us faith that supersedes our rational thinking and what everyone else thinks. That's the gift of faith. The next gift is the working of miracles. And the working of miracles is when God's power supersedes the laws of nature. This would be like when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, when Jesus walked on the water, when Jesus fed the 5,000. God can do supernatural things where he circumvents what the laws of nature would be. Miracles don't have to do with healing. The Bible separates healing out from miracles because miracles are things where God does it supernaturally. I've known of people where they had, it was a single mom, she had no gas in her car, it was on empty, and she had to travel 30 miles home, and she had no money for gas, so she laid hands in her car and said, Lord, help me get home. And she went 30 miles, and as she got home and as she rounded the corner, her car died in her driveway. God did a miracle for her. I've heard of some people, their refrigerators are broken, they have no money, and they pray, they lay hands on the fridge, they anointed it with oil, they use some Crisco, kind of appropriate since that's where you use food, and the refrigerator started running. Sometimes we are so quick just to exclude God from every area of our life. Now, I'm not saying that you and I are going to pray and we're not going to have any problems, nothing's going to break down, okay? That's part of life, and God uses that stuff to refine our character a lot. But what I am saying is we need to be open to letting God speak to us and say, I want to reveal my power to people. And maybe it's someone who's unsaved and their car won't start. And you go over and say, hey, can I just pray for you? I feel God wants me to pray for your car. Yeah, sure. And you pray for it and it starts up. How'd that happen? Well, I'm a Christian and God told me to pray for your car. By the way, I go to Casper Faith, and why don't you come join me in church on Sunday? You see, you don't know how God wants to work in people's lives. But so many times we're busy, 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 speedy delivery. We're on our way doing our thing, not open to the interruptions that God wants to bring into our lives, not hearing his promptings. The last power gift we're going to talk about today, and then we're going to wrap things up, is the gifts of healings. Gift of healings. And this is where God heals disease, he heals sickness through the prayers of a believer. Through the prayers of a believer. We see this in Acts 19, verse 11 and 12. Paul anointed aprons and handkerchiefs, and they were taken to the sick, and when they touched him, they were healed. Peter's walking down the street, and if someone was sick and his shadow fell on them, they were healed. Now, I chose those two weird examples, and friends, the Gospels are full of healing, but I chose those two weird examples because sometimes God works in a very weird way. At the same time, if someone has a back injury, you don't come up to them and say, let me lay hands on you, brother, in the name of Jesus, and slap them on the back. It sounds funny, but I've known people who have done that, and they've created more damage. I don't believe God's going to tell you to do something like that. You never see Jesus hitting, kicking, or slapping anyone. I think there were times he wanted to do it to Peter, okay? But he was always gentle in praying for people. So God might ask you to do something unusual, but don't disrespect a person. I mean, Jesus did spit in the dirt and put mud on someone's eye. That's a little gross. But he didn't do something to physically hurt them. I shared a few weeks ago how God healed me. They were in a church service 30 miles away praying for a kid who had allergies, and God touched me and made me whole. And through that, my whole family came to know Jesus. I think the reason we don't see healing sometime take place in church is because we're all praying for the Christians in the building. Friends, hear me. Most of the gifts of the Spirit took place outside of the four walls of the church. They took place in the marketplace. That's where God wants to reveal his power and his knowledge, is out in the marketplace, and he uses you and I to do it. We have got to come to the place where we get out of the box of God just moving in here from 10 o'clock to 11:30 on Sunday morning. God wants to move at Walmart. Amen? God wants to move out at Halliburton. God wants to move at NC and K-Dub. He wants to move at every school. He wants to move everywhere. He wants to move on an assembly line like he did when he healed my friend PJ. I shared about that a few weeks ago. God wants to move in the marketplace. I'm going to close with this story of a young lady named Jackie. Jackie was a fairly new Christian, hadn't been saved long, and she walked into a major discount store in the city of Portland. And as she walks in, she walks by the pharmacy area, and she sees a lady that's standing there, an older lady, and she can tell that she's definitely sick. And the Lord says to her, go and pray for her. And she says, but God, you know, I'm just a new Christian, and I mean, this is weird, and she's going to think I'm nuts. So she just went on in the store and did the rest of her shopping. And as she came back by, she paid for her stuff. She walked back by the pharmacy area. Now this time, this older lady was sitting down, still obviously very, very sick. And the Lord said, go pray for her. And again, she says, Lord, this is where she walks out of the store, and she gets out of the store, and the Lord says, go and pray for her. So she turns around, walks back into the store. She comes up to the lady and says, ma'am, I know this might seem weird, but I'm a Christian, and I was wondering if I could, I can tell it looks like you're very sick. Can I pray for you? And the lady says, yeah, sure, that would be great. I've been sick for so long. And so she just prayed a simple, simple prayer that went about 10 seconds. Dear Lord God, I know you love this lady. Just heal her to show her how much you love her. Take care of her. Amen. They exchanged names and telephone numbers, and Jackie left. The next day, she receives a phone call from this lady, and this lady says, can you come to my house right now? I'd like to talk to you. And Jackie says, yeah, I can come over. And she didn't know why she was being asked over. She gets to the house, and the lady's husband is home. He'd taken work off that day to meet Jackie. Because what had taken place is this lady, the condition that she had caused her to not sleep through the night. She had to get up several times a night to take medicine because she just had no rest. And for the first time in years, this lady had slept through the entire night, and her pill bottle was still on the kitchen table unopened from the pharmacy. Her husband woke her up because he thought she was dead. She was sleeping so soundly. And she says, no, I'm feeling great. And he says, well, man, you didn't take your medicine. She says, I know. I got to tell you what happened to me. Yesterday I was at the store and this lady came up to me and said, can I pray for you? And that's what happened. Here's her name and number. So they called her up and Jackie had a chance to share with them. They knew virtually nothing about the gospel. She got to share the gospel, a brand new Christian herself, not very old in the Lord. She shares the gospel and they both come to know Jesus as their Savior. God manifested His power to save two people that didn't know Him. And friends, God wants to do that all across this city. He wants to show up at your workplace and at your school, in your lives, in your relationship, in your home. He wants to build His church to encourage and comfort the hurting, to lift up the needy, to save those who are lost, to heal the sick, because He wants to reveal Himself to the world. I want you to bow with me this morning. Bow your heads, close your eyes.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.